Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Give to Michelle. Runs to the left side. A burst past the 25. Outside on the 20. 15, 10. Left sideline 5. Hurtling into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
There you go, you rook. We talked about him breaking, and he's a breakaway runner. We saw this in Georgia. 34 yards around left end. Sees the goal line. Woo! That's a tough one for the 2-6 show there. Sorry, guys. Great block. But more importantly, his ability to get the daylight. He stiff arms the safety. Lake churn. Boy, just takes that right hand right into face mask. Get off me. Get me some more daylight.
Ah, you Patriots fans are cute. Led by Zell. So cute. I was going to say pathetic, like I said off the top. It's not pathetic. It's funny. It's cute.
I'm amused. You amuse me.
Up 14 points in garbage time against a horrible team on a short week that has half their – a horrible team that has half their horrible players hurt. So even more horrible players are in. With 7 minutes left, a team you routinely blow out, the guy scores a garbage time touchdown in which you could drive a Mack truck through the hole. And he gives a little stiff arm to some – Chris Farley there at free safety, Maz?
Yeah, Chris Farley. Yeah. Matthias Chris Farley.
Tommy boy playing.
Falling all over himself.
Playing center field out there.
And like a drunk frat boy.
All of a sudden it's like, oh, see?
Embarrassing.
We'll see.
Embarrassing. Welcome to hell, Gasper. You how are you?
Oh, my embarrassing. God. It's oh, God.
So embarrassing.
Thank God. Thank God they had Michelle last night. Lord knows.
Is 14 points with 7 minutes to go an official? Is that in the betting world? Is that garbage time?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Really? A 14-point game.
14-point game with 7 minutes
with
left.
7 minutes to go.
On their 30? Against that team?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Against, well, there's a lot of qualifiers there. I asked you if that's like an official betting team, betting term. You went into sort of that team
after a turnover,
on your
right?
field, and after a turnover, and I don't think that's garbage time. I honestly do. It's not. I mean, I think you do because it's your argument. I think calling that garbage time is asinine. He created garbage time with that touchdown. It was garbage time afterwards. It was a 2-touchdown game with 7 minutes to go.
Yeah. Well, thank God you had him.
That happens all the time.
Thank God you had that.
Teams
guy,
come back from that all the time. That wasn't garbage time. I get it. You guys don't like the player, but you can't start changing the facts. Like, I mean, that's not garbage time.
Oh, is that garbage time?
The whole
whole game was garbage time.
He created garbage time with that touchdown. Then it was garbage time, but they're up 2 touchdowns.
The hole wasn't as big as the one last week. You could only drive a Hummer through this one.
It's so cute. And now it's like, oh, how do you like him now? What do you mean, how do you like him now? Like, that was so predictable. You're going to have that. You have your way with the team you've always had your way with that's even depleted on a short week. And you get to a 14-point lead with 7 minutes left. And as well, was it a first down?
It was.
It was right after the interception.
Yeah.
He put the nail in
first
the coffin,
play,
which is what a good team does. Oh,
yeah. Or the Colts quit.
The you closer.
They quit? I mean, yeah, okay, so now they quit. Now we're going to say that they quit. Okay.
No, that was a no. Thank God they got it.
They quit for that one play, then came back and scored another touchdown because then they unquit, right? That's what happened.
Well, the offense. I don't know. I don't. What, 31-17? Indy 34 with 7:15 left. You felt like that game was in play.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a two. Well, there had been a series that all they had to do was throw it to Chris Hogan.
Would you stop?
They turned the ball over twice in the third quarter, Felger. That's not garbage time just because you say it is.
If you want to give me, well, it's not because
give me the rest of your argument. That's not garbage time.
Just because you say it's not, it's
well,
not.
Well, you only say it is because that's your argument, and everybody here is so worn down that they're not going to. What other game would you look at and say a two touchdown game with 7 minutes to go is garbage time? I've never heard you say that. That is not garbage time. There's nobody else who would define that as garbage time.
No,
it was garbage time after he scored. He created garbage time.
The people who wouldn't define are ones who just want to get off on a running back doing basically nothing.
Look, I mean, I'm not saying the guys Todd Gurley or Marshall Faulk.
How do I define garbage time?
Emmitt Smith.
Home, Thursday night, 7 minutes left. You have the ball on their 34, first down against the Colts. That, my friend, is garbage time.
No, that's not. It's still a two-score game.
If you want to give me a higher leverage situation, and I said it before, is the Gordon catch. Now.
Yeah, and I heard you say that.
So
yeah.
Momentum had sort of shifted there. You had turned it over a couple of times. They had scored. 7-point game. You kind of had to have that play or a play there. So that I gave Gordon. The Michelle run? Just stop.
So everything above 7 is garbage time then? That's what it is.
No, I'll go 14. Quarter. I'd say 14. I mean, if you want me to give you an exact line, 14 against the Colts with 7 minutes left,
okay.
And
so
you have the ball
against the Colts
on a Thursday night, Chris Farley at free safety. That's what it is.
Okay.
That is the textbook definition of garbage
time. All those qualifiers, that's all garbage.
I mean, they're already in field goal range.
It's yeah, that's
over.
Fine. Look,
you know the game's over. The whole game, you had filed your story by then. Would you stop with that?
I had not, but I just
don't think
it's for
you
guys
over.
Are only calling it garbage time because you don't like the player. And it's just like piling on to the guy.
No, hold on. That's not true. I don't dislike the player. I took that one back.
Okay.
I just don't think the player is worthy of a first round pick.
Okay, but that's a different argument versus the original argument of he sucks, he blows, he's a
bust. I was wrong on that.
He's fine.
I took that back.
That's fair.
Take walk back on that.
That's
fair.
I think
that's fair. And look, if you want to have a different discussion about whether a guy's worth a first round pick,
I hope so. He's listening.
A position is worth a first round pick, or even if you want to have a discussion about, hey, they should have picked another guy. You know, I think Kerryon Johnson at 43, which was their pick, would have been a better pick, or Royce Freeman is a better pick. But when you start conflating all those things, like this guy can't run, this guy stinks, this guy's overrated, this guy doesn't break tackles, don't draft running backs in the first round, there's other running backs that would have been better. When you start conflating those all together into one big argument, that's not fair, and you're sort of it's intellectually disingenuous.
I would not want
like,
to be unfair.
What's the argument?
No, but that game that was a high leverage situation. There of 14.
Oh, it's garbage time, yeah, because it's convenient
Colts
for your argument. A two score game with 7 minutes to go is garbage time.
At their 34 with the first down at their 34.
So I guess you didn't watch you didn't watch any of the third quarter
on a Thursday
because
night.
The whole third quarter was
Holy
garbage
smokes.
Time, right? They're up 24-3,
so,
and then all of a sudden it's 24-17. So what happened there?
You're also confusing my thing. I'm just talking against fans that overrate running backs in general. And I said to you before, I've been over this with LeGarrette Blount. I've been over this with Lawrence Maroney. I've been over this with Jonas Gray. Yeah. Like, there's just been a million guys like this. Like, all of a sudden, a running back does something, and it's like, you think it's a real factor when it's really not. There's a million guys who could have done what Sony Michel has done so far. A million, really.
Yeah, and I think that's a value argument, right? The argument there is, okay, did you need to take this guy in the first round? You could have found a comparable player or a guy to put up comparable production somewhere else. And that's a valid argument.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Thank you.
But I think, again, when you sort of conflate it with this guy's not very good and you sort of mock what he does and, you know, this guy's a bust, this guy's this, it's that. You know, anybody could have gone through that hole.
Well, anyone could have
different.
Anyone could have gone through that hole. The other
There's
stuff
a difference
I haven't
between
said.
Saying somebody else can do what the guy's doing and denigrating and diminishing what the guy actually does.
Oh, well.
There's a difference there.
Chris, the touchdown.
there is a difference.
God forbid I would denigrate.
Chris,
I know that's your specialty.
The touchdown in the Miami game. Could Brandon Bolden have run that in?
The touchdown in the Miami game. Which one?
The Sony Michel one.
I think he could have. The one thing I feel like you guys don't give the guy any credit for, like, yeah, the hole's big, but he has a lot of burst. He gets through there and he's gone. Like, this guy's fast. Like, you know, how long did it take LeGarrette Blount? You didn't like him, and I wasn't a huge fan either. But how long did it take him to warm
the fans,
up?
The fans loved him.
To get through the hole and sort of warm up and get there.
Oh, God, painful.
I mean, it was like and once he got going, but it took him a long time. Like, this guy has some burst to him. He gets to the holes pretty quickly. I think that's why they're excited about him. Again, I'm not saying, like, this guy's not Curtis Martin. I'm not telling you that. I just think that there's a middle ground between you either have to be this transcendent running back, or it's like you're a bust.
I don't do middle ground.
Or you're an average. Well, I know. This show doesn't do middle ground.
No,
it does
I
extremes.
One side and, or the other. Yeah, no,
and that works. Like, I get it. But I'm just saying, I think there's a middle ground there where he can be a contributor. He can be better than the average running back.
But
that doesn't mean that he has to be, you know, Kareem Hunt, Le'Veon Bell level type of player.
No, he can be. I told you, I took it back. I took back the sucks and blows comment. I took that one back.
You took it back, but the tonality says you really did.
No, I did.
The whole tonality of the show says, I'm taking it back, but I'm not really taking it back.
Okay, no, I take it back. He doesn't suck and blow. I don't know how good he is. But
but you do know how good he is because you just compared him to Brandon Bolden. So that's what you think of him.
You think
he's no better than Brandon Bolden. That's what you think his upside is. Or otherwise you're not mentioning that guy's name.
The last 2 days.
Now you guys are being unfair.
I don't think he sucks or blows.
Oh, we're being unfair because we're pointing out your own stupid argument?
I don't think he sucks or blows. But I wouldn't have wasted a 31st pick
yeah,
on him.
Exactly. I don't think he sucks or blows. I don't think he sucks or blows. I just think he's Brandon Bolden, a career special teamer. Yeah.
You're just, I mean, didn't Ben Jarvis Green Ellis run for 1,000 yards on this team?
He did.
So that's,
yes, he did.
Okay.
He had like 12 touchdowns.
So there you go. Absolutely. I mean, so that's my point.
He was good in short yardage.
And that's I get your point, Felk, and I think that's a valid point.
Thank you.
They've had a lot of guys here who have been productive as running backs, and maybe you didn't need to use a first round pick on him, and he has to maybe play. You know, I don't know what level you guys feel like he needs to play at to justify the pick. You know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, I'll just ask a question: what level does he have to play at to justify the first round pick?
I don't think he'll ever be as important in the offense ever to justify it. And I went through this before. I think Edelman's return is so much more important than Michelle. It's not even funny. Yeah. I think James White is so much more important. It's not even funny. I'll even give you Josh Gordon making that one big play over the top a game can be more valuable than what Sony Michel does. Gronkowski is more valuable than Sony Michel. Their defense is more important than Sony Michel. Their offensive line is more important than Sony Michel. I just gave you seven things that I think are more important to me than the play of Sony Michel. So again, at 30,
but I could replace the word Sony Michel with running back, and you'd feel
right.
The same
yes,
way.
Exactly.
Okay,
of
I
course.
Understand.
Yes,
yeah, and I think that's legitimate because that's not about Sony Michel. That's just you feel the position has no value, no matter who's there.
He's been fine, and you're also missing the point that my job is to argue with fans.
No, I get it.
And so I'm arguing against the fan perception of the player in the position, and boy, do I love it. I'm putting it on my list. The running back debate is on there with Deflategate. And the salary cap, and Tuukka Rask, and give me another one. Like, I mean, I could do it all day long. I love it, man. It is so good because I'm just so damn right, and it's just so fun to sit here in my righteous corner and just fire away.
No, I just want to make sure that I understand. So it's not so much about Sony, because I think that's where those of us who listen to the show get confused, that you're funneling all your anger at Sony Michel, but it's not really Sony Michel. It's any running back. It doesn't matter.
And those who support them. Yes, correct.
Okay.
So the Rams.
So it's any running back.
The Rams were wrong to select Todd Gurley in the first round.
Definitely.
Same with Dallas and Ezekiel Elliott. They have mattered nothing to their offense.
But at least he's consistent. He's saying that if they had Ezekiel Elliott back, they're playing at an Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, let me just so I understand. Like, if you had Barry Sanders or Terrell Davis, you'd feel the same way.
Oh, Barry Sanders would get in the way.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Like, I understand what you're saying.
You'd feel the need to turn around and hand it off to the guy when I've got Brady and Gronkowski and guys like this.
Okay.
I don't want anything to do with it.
So it's really about the position.
Yeah, Michelle's been fine.
And poor Sony Michel's the lightning rod for how you feel about the position.
He's collateral damage.
Not about the position for me.
We continue. Gasper's here. Your thoughts on the Patriots. I want his thoughts on the Kyrie Irving announcement. I want his thoughts on the Red Sox. All that's coming up here on Agenda Free Friday.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Obviously, I look back and realize the mistakes I made and like I said, try to learn from it. You know, I'm not going to hide from it. It is what it is. You can Google it now, tomorrow, and 100 years, and it's going to be there. I own it. I accept it. And like I said, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do everything I can to be better. And that's all I can do. You know, it's not going to help me this year. It's not going to help me next year. And it's not gonna help, definitely not going to help me tomorrow. So, you know, the work, the preparation, and everything that's gone into it is what's going to get me through.
All right, that's Chris Sale on his past playoff failures. Was he... He's just 0-2, right? Last year.
Yeah, right. When in the relief game, he actually pitched okay until the end.
Okay, so that's Chris Sale. Chris Gasper, what do you expect from Sale tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I mean, we'll see what the velocity is. It's interesting, Maz, I heard you on the Baseball Reporters talk about this, and I think you made a good point on it. It's like hard to know what to expect because when he's coming back, that fifth start's the one where you would feel like, okay, he should be back to normal. Well, guess what? The fifth start's also the playoff start. So there's a lot of other variables there. I think the stuff is good enough for him to have a productive outing, but I look at the Yankees and I wonder, will they just try and drive up the pitch count on him and get him out of the game after 4 2/3 and see if they can take advantage of the Red Sox bullpen? If I'm the Yankees, that's my strategy.
Well, it's definitely what they'll do. And this, to me, this in part gets back to the velocity. If the velocity's not good enough, they'll be able to foul pitches off that otherwise get by him. And so that's going to extend counts and do everything else. So, like, to me, I'm sorry. There are guys that I look at and you'd say, that guy can pitch without velocity. He'll be fine. You know, his control is so precise and his command is so precise that he can get away. Pedro is the easy one. He threw at 89 and guys still couldn't touch him, for crying out loud, because the movement and the location was just so darn good. This guy, I don't know. If I were the Red Sox, I thought about this a little while ago. I'd turn the radar gun up a couple of ticks.
Ah, love it. In the stadium.
That's good. For sure,
yes.
Yeah, turn it up a couple of ticks.
You bet.
And so, in this way, no matter what happens, he's throwing 95, 96. And if he's really pumping it, then he's 98, 99 in the first inning, and you're in the Yankees' heads.
I like that.
And then, when numbnuts, Jay Happo goes out there in the bottom of the first inning. Yeah.
Turn it down.
Right, turn it down a little bit. If you can do it that way, just a couple of ticks every time Sale's on the mound and see what it does for you. I'd play with his head. Let him think he's more invulnerable than he is if you have to.
Love it. Okay.
Cheat.
That's more gamesmanship. That's just a stadium. That's game presentation there. All right, your calls on whatever you want. Again, we will get to Kyrie Irving as well. Joe and Newton, his comment line says, inside information on Sale. Uh-oh. What do you got, Joe? Let us know.
Hey, guys. So I work for a certain large investment bank in Boston, if you'll let me go for a second here. And a certain executive member of my team, I had a meeting with him yesterday, and he had an appointment for specific nerve damage to his shoulder through extensive CrossFit work. And the doctor said there's a certain professional athlete in town who he couldn't go into specifics due to liability, came in, and he has a big game coming up, and he's only at best 75 to 80%, and he's doing some experimental shots to help replicate the nerve damage. And my boss, as he walked out of the office, the person walking in was none other than Chris Sale. So I can't say the specific doctor's office, but this was confirmed by our boss.
Okay.
Wow.
You've probably done enough to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Nerve damage, Mass.
Never heard that. I don't know.
Really, right?
Not in the shoulder. I mean, that's a rarity to me. I don't know what that is.
Would that be the thing that would require eventually they'd look at it and it would be that thoracic outlet syndrome?
I don't think that's in the shoulder. Maybe it is, Chris.
But can it like trickle up, like when guys start to feel that and then it turns out that that's what they're dealing with?
So it could be. I mean, I'll tell you what, now that you said it, I'll Google it during the break. But look, to me, there's something going on there. Again, you know, Dombrowski was on a national radio show and made reference to the bursa, which is rotator cuff inflammation. So, you know, I hear that and I say, all right, well, you know, sooner or later it was going to catch up with this guy with the way he throws. Something was going to go wrong in there.
And I'll just repeat my thought on it. And that is, it's, you know, tonight's huge, obviously. But, you know, it's not just about the division series or game one, or it's about the World Series, right? So to do that, you need Sale game one, game five, if it goes that far. And then in the ALCS, games one, game five, and then, you know, your ace should be ready to go for a relief in game seven. And now you're at the World Series, and here we go again. Game one, game four, game seven. Can he do all that? And, you know, I'm dubious there. Can he get away with it tonight? Sure. Should be able to. Jake in the car. What do you got, Jake? On Sony Michel. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just think that just overall, he cannot cut it up the field. Like, I saw every single play when he was going outside the numbers. He literally just had to run a couple steps, and he literally cannot do that. He reminds me of Trent Richardson.
Okay, Gasper, your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, Trent Richardson was one of the all-time busts. You know, those guys that come out of Alabama, they're used to it being blocked so well that a lot of times they're like, what do you mean? There's a guy at the line of scrimmage. I'm used to encountering a guy 9 yards downfield and I can make my move. I think a little bit, you know, he had a quote last night that was interesting to me. Sony Michel did, you know, talking about sort of, I have to trust the offensive line. And for a running back, it's all about reading the line. Anybody who watched him play at Georgia, this guy, it wasn't all about reading the line. He was a really instinctual runner. I think they're kind of reprogramming him, and this would not be the first time they've done this with a first-round running back, because I covered Lawrence Maroney, and they did the same thing with him, and eventually they got in his head, and he didn't know, you know, up from down. So I hope they're not doing that. You know, there's sort of this idea of, we can't have any negative plays, you know, so don't try and be super creative. Just whatever's there, just take it. Because if that's the case, then I actually agree with you, Felger, in terms of your overall philosophy. If that's how you're going to instruct a running back and drill that into his head, then don't draft a running back in the first round. It's a waste. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis can just run it before it's blocked. If you're going to take a guy in the first round, you want him to be creative and make some special plays and make some plays that make the blocking look better than.
Yeah, this. Big play potential. That's what it's all about.
But for me, I mean, and that's how I do feel. Especially if you've got one of these quarterbacks. And now the whole league, you know, like, there's more of these guys.
Great inflation in the passing.
Right? Isn't there?
So bad. It's embarrassing.
So if I have one of these guys, then I want my running back to take the yards that are there and not fumble. My passing game is setting up the running game. So you're going to have opportunity. Take it. Don't fumble. And ideally, be there in the passing game as well. So we're not declaring whether we're running or passing, and I can throw to you as well. And that's what I want. That's what I want out of that position.
Can I just say something quickly, too, though? Sometimes it takes a little long. Like, if you know, if we were talking about James White as a rookie, I feel like we'd be having a similar conversation.
No question. He was a zero as a rookie.
I mean, the moment he got touched, he was down. I mean, no ability to break tackles as a rookie. Now look at him. So sometimes it takes a little while. And I do think part of that is the way the Patriots... I mean, Ivan Fierce does a tremendous job. It's not Ivan. I think it's their overall philosophy that comes from Bill with the running back is sort of what you just said. Take the yards that are there and don't fumble. And that sort of says, like, don't go outside the box, kid. Don't try and be creative. And you see that. So I'm not sure you can evaluate it, you know, right away. Because if we were talking about James White, you would have said he's a bust. His rookie year, now look at him. He's indispensable to the offense.
White's a good comparison because I thought he sucked too.
Third round or fourth. Where was he drafted?
No,
fourth round.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Boom. This is sort of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We continue. Thoughts on the Sox and Gasper on Kyrie Irving declaring he's going to re-sign with the Boston Celtics. What do we think of that?
Sort of.
Oh, maybe someone's dubious here in the room. We'll talk about that right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyrie. How important is it to see number 11 up there one day?
It's quite important, and I appreciate that scout I joined in, but I shared it with some of my teammates as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here next year.
Boom!
So, I appreciate it.
We're all taking Kyrie at his word. Someone here, though, may not totally buy it. Gasper, you're not totally buying.
So let me preface this with this. You guys know I love Kyrie Irving. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And there's nothing I want more than for him to re-sign. However, when I look at this, I think this is how he feels right now. I think he was being sincere and he's being genuine. And that's how he feels right now. But I think we've know and we've learned... With Kyrie, like you're seeing all these stories that last year, you know, he wasn't really like fully happy. Not that he was unhappy, but he wasn't really fully happy. He's talked this year about feeling better, about being in Boston. Things can change with him quickly. He's kind of an impetuous guy. And so now it's like he's feeling good. He feels more comfortable. It's easy. It's the preseason. There's been no stress, no pressure, no adversity. And so right now he's like, yeah, this is definitely where I want to be. But let's see what happens during the season. And even in his comments, again, and I'm taking him at his word, I think he's being sincere and genuine. He said, I plan. I think he does. I think he absolutely does plan to sign with the Celtics. But I don't think this is a done deal. Let's see what happens during the season and when July 1 rolls around, where he's at mentally and where he feels, how he feels at that point.
Okay, I think it's a done deal with him. I question whether it should be a done deal with the team. I mean... You've got a lot of max guys, but I mean, what if, let's just say Jaylen Brown fulfills his potential of being Kawhi Leonard, and he's going to max out. Tatum, you hope and think, is going to be a max player. And Hayward, or, you know, so you have to make some choices here. And is point guard the most valuable spot, as good as he is? There's a lot of good point guards out there.
Mm-hmm.
You've won with backup point guards.
Sensing a positional theme here.
Well, no, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm the team, I'm like, well... Great. We're glad you want to be here, but let's just see. And then the obvious one is what if he gets dinged up again and the durability thing comes
up? Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. I'm sure the Celtics will want to see that too, you know, throughout the course of the year. But he's the best player on your team right now. Maybe that will change in a couple of years with Tatum. I don't know. But I would re-sign him as long as there aren't the health concerns there. I just think, you know, when you look at it, like you read some of these stories and it seems something... I mean, this is a different type of guy. We've talked about this before, sort of the way he's calibrated mentally and the way he thinks about things. And it's not, he's not just your typical, like, I wouldn't compare him, for example, to like Julian Edelman, who to me is your typical sort of tunnel vision athlete. You know, I think that there's a wide field of vision for Kyrie and a lot of things that factor into his life and his happiness. And you read some of these stories and it's something as seemingly trivial as the Celtics' new practice facility, which is, you know, over in Brighton.
Do you buy that?
And I do. For this guy, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, first of all, have you ever gone to the old facility in Waltham?
Yeah.
I mean, not great.
So?
It's suburban.
How often do they practice?
Do you think Kyrie's a guy that wants to go to a suburban practice facility?
Well, the Brighton thing isn't exactly Times Square.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I know you don't
really,
spend, I know you were in and out of there and you don't like to interact with anybody when we were over there, but that neighborhood in Murray, I should tell you, is actually sort of up and coming and like it's younger and there's
wait a minute,
restaurants going in.
Market Street in Brighton?
Yeah, there's like restaurants over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not buying it.
No,
huh?
That ain't exactly.
Come on, take the wood over there. I'll give you some restaurant recommendations.
Aren't they called it like Brighton Landing or something like that?
They're building all those apartments. But the point is, I mean, it's like a more urban environment. Like, I honestly think something like that could, you know, Kyrie could be like, oh, this is nice. This is great. I mean,
if that's what it takes.
I'm
God
just
bless.
Saying, like, but you've seen that in multiple stories. I've seen that in multiple stories, the reference to the practice. Like, Adam Himmelsbach, my colleague today, had it in his thing, you know, five things to know about this. He mentioned the practice facility. So just when stuff like that factors into your decision, that tells me that you're someone that can change their mind and that, you know, basically trivial things can affect you. So let's see where it's at after 82 games in the playoffs. Where he's at, if there's some sort of incident, dust up, something happens, I think this could change.
Gasper isn't totally buying.
It's a long, with long way to go.
How about now some people actually spinning it forward and saying, okay, he's here now.
Yeah.
Now can you really go get Anthony Davis? And Kyrie and Anthony Davis apparently spoke at the Team USA stuff, according to The Athletic. And well, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm always down for Anthony Davis. I mean, you know, I think that would be great. You know, he's sort of the great white whale for the Celtics. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing on him. The only thing I'd say, and I want Anthony Davis, but you talk about guys that have had injury issues. I mean, Anthony Davis has had some injury issues. So if you put all your eggs in that sort of Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis basket, then, you know, that's a situation. They're two fantastic players when they're healthy, but you could leave yourself open to
it's realistic.
Issues. You know, it depends. I mean, you know, when you look at that league, like, I think if Davis gets to a point where he's going to shoot his way out of town, a la Jimmy Butler, then yeah, I mean, the Pelicans won't have a choice. But I feel like up until you get to that point, if you're that team, you can't really attract players in free agency. You go back into the draft, what you're hoping to find is what you already have. I mean, you really push that to the limit. Like, trading that guy is the last resort for them.
I think it's definitely realistic with the way that league works. And if you're the Celtics, with what you've got right now, got Irving, you've got Tatum, you've got Brown, you've got another pick coming.
Rozier.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's absolutely realistic.
It's realistic that he moves. If L.A.'s sitting there and LeBron's sitting there and he just joins LeBron's agency and they have, you know, the room and the whole L.A. thing, I think, I don't know, I'd be surprised if you won out in that. And, you know, you could say, well, it's a trade. He doesn't control it. He really does, because he could say, I'm not going to resign.
Yeah,
right? You know, I mean,
exactly.
he gets to... He gets a say in that by declaring if he's there long term or not, if he's just a rental. So he could force his way to Los Angeles if he wanted.
Yeah, he could. And who does he want to sort of align himself with? And that's always sort of what's happening in the background of the NBA. Guys trying to, you know, court other guys. Who's cool with whom? That whole thing. So it's really
cool with whom?
Yeah, that's really kind of what it comes down to. You know, that's why you wouldn't be good in the NBA, because you have to be really personable.
I'm not cool.
You have to
anyone.
Be like a really personable person. You have to kiss a lot of ass. That's not your style.
Oh, please,
that's not your style.
Give me a break.
You know, can you imagine that? Like, you know, you got to, you know, basically kiss Maz's ass to make sure he's like on your team.
No.
How do you know he doesn't?
Oh, I know.
Okay, but so Kyrie Irving declares. I mean, I think that's. I'm going to take it at his word. I think I know he's flighty, and I know he can change his mind. But boy, to stand up in front of a stadium full of season ticket holders and say I'm re-signing, and then
let me ask you this: if there's one guy in the league that you think would do that, based on the history,
I don't know.
You don't think it's
LeBron?
I think any superstar would do it in that league.
Yeah, a lot of them would, but I don't know. What has he done that would tell me? Has he blatantly changed his mind on anything in the past?
Yeah, the Cavaliers and playing with LeBron, the whole situation.
Did he declare he wanted to stay there long term?
No, but I mean, we signed the long term contract, and it was a situation there that seemed like a pretty good. We've talked about this on the show before, and you've agreed that it seemed like it was a pretty good situation. And you know what was the red flag there that made him want to leave? What was a winning situation?
It was the fact that the Cavaliers wanted to trade him.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I mean,
you
know, that obviously would be something that would sort of irritate you. There's no question about it. But then when they came back to him, and it's still a great situation, and he sort of, and I think it was also, as much as that's true, Jimmy, and I know that you know that, it's also sort of like, okay, like, I don't want to be the little brother. You know,
and he also didn't want to be holding the bag because he knew LeBron was out.
Oh, LeBron was going to stiff him. And the other thing is, the owner's an idiot.
That's true. The owner is.
Like, I think he looked at it and said, I'm not getting stuck here after LeBron leaves me here with this clown running the team.
Well, anyway, you want to weigh in on Irving? By all means. You want to weigh in on the Sox and Yankees? By all means. Patriots stuff as well. We'll promise we'll wrap it up with your calls and Gasper right after this. I say wrap up Gasper's stint. We're here until 6 o'clock. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sports Hub. boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A first and 10 from the Colt 34. Brady with a play fake to Michelle. Stands in the pocket. Bouncing right. Sliding back left. Directing traffic. A lot of time to launch a long high arcing pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
So sexy, Flash Gordon.
Number 500 in the regular season career of Tom Brady.
What a way to get the 500 to have this kid catch it. Just somebody different again. That's the thing you're going to have with this guy. The ability when things break down, just give a playmaker a chance to go up and elevate and get it. That strength, it's power, but great job by Gordon. Recognizing that Brady's redirecting him. He goes all the way down inside and peels back. Whew.
Sexy.
That was a great play Josh made, you know, jumping over the top of two defenders. And, you know, it tells you the kind of confidence I have in a really short period of time. So, you know, he's earned it and happy to see him make that play.
All right, Gas, we got Josh Gordon thought quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was huge. Obviously, you know what spoke volumes to me in that situation? It wasn't just the play he made, which was a man amongst boys, sandlot type of play where he just was going to go up and get it. And I know those guys didn't really make a play on the ball. I think they were so stunned that he just went up and attacked it. But more than that, the fact that Brady had the trust to throw that to him. Because honestly, that I didn't think he should have thrown that. And he was throwing into double coverage, and he did. And Gordon rewarded him. So I look at it and I think if you're looking at sort of, you know, the rankings now, like what's going on with the circle of trust, it's like Josh Gordon in, Chris Hogan out.
So yeah, is Hogan being phased out?
I think he's on the periphery of the circle of trust right now.
What happened there?
Well, I mean,
even before that fumble last night.
Before that fumble, there was a play, and I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but maybe it was one that he threw to Edelman where I looked and Hogan was like wide open. And I know that people have talked the last couple of weeks about plays where Hogan is wide open and Brady's not. It just doesn't seem like at this point, I don't think it's a situation where it's like, I'm not going to throw this guy the ball. But I think it's a situation where he's just not expecting him to be open. And so, you know, he's looking elsewhere.
Yeah, maybe he's not a pliability guy.
Huh.
I don't know. But I think the fact that Brady threw that, I mean, think of it this way. Brady already had two interceptions in that game. Neither one of those were his fault. It was Hogan and Gronkowski. You're in a one-score game. It wasn't garbage time yet. We agree on that?
The Gordon play was not garbage time.
Okay.
No.
Just want to clarify.
Okay. I told you that was a much more high-level situation.
Just double-checking. Not garbage time. He throws that up. I mean, that gets picked in the end zone. Then, you know, the Colts have the ball, and you're in a game, especially the way your defense was playing at that point.
So
the fact he threw it to me spoke volumes, that he was willing to throw that to him.
And if that's all you get out of Gordon, even that, he had two grabs, right? But one of them is a big play like that, you win. Like, that's all you need out of that guy.
But I'll just say quickly, my thing on Gordon was never, it's never been a talent thing. It's not like, I know he can do that.
Right.
My concern is, let's say he does that, and he does that for 10 games, and you're like, great, problem solved, wide receiver, we figured it out. Bill Belichick strikes again. What, he failed a test? He's out of the league? Now what do you do? It's past the trade deadline. That's always been my argument on what the risk of Gordon is. You know, the risk is not, you see the talent. We all know the talent. The risk is that he can solve your problem for 10 weeks of the regular season, and you look up and you say, we're good to go, and all of a sudden there's an issue, and he's not available to you at all, and you have nowhere else to go to find a replacement.
Few phones for Chris here. Anthony in Medford, go quickly.
Hey, all right, Mike. Yeah, I think McCourty is like Lawyer Malloy. See you later. The tight ends were burning him all night, Mike. Eric Ebron's horrible. He burnt them twice, and that other guy, 86, he's done.
Like, so let me stop you there. You worried about the defense and or McCourty specifically?
Yeah, I mean, tough night, I think, for Devin with the tight ends. It's funny, I get this inside edge thing that they send to me, you know, all these stats. And going into that game, the Patriots actually had allowed the fewest yards per game to tight ends. I mean, yeah, I know, it was stunning, according to this inside edge. It's the same thing from baseball. You know, they do, like, the baseball stuff. And so I was stunned that Ebron and with that other guy, what was his name? Eric Swope?
Yeah.
Swope?
86.
Yeah, Eric Swope. That they had such good games. And that you got to go back and address that, especially when you're going to play Travis Kelce next time, who's one of the best tight ends in the league. I thought the defense took their foot off the gas pedal, and I think they're better than they were last year, but they're not talented enough to take their foot off the gas pedal and think they have anybody down like that.
Joey in New Hampshire. Go, Joey.
Hey, listen, you know, I don't like JD Martinez in the fall. Him and Pierce should be switched, number one. But number two, with the Pats, when you have draft picks, no matter when they're picked, when you have a pile of them, you're expected not even just to play, but to perform, to contribute. And with Michelle, he's getting better and better each day. I mean, he ain't nothing to, you know, I'm not going to toot his horn yet, but he's getting better and better each day. He's actually on the field doing something. He's contributing.
Fair enough. Your comment line says Michelle is fine. I would agree. He's fine. Tank in Leominster wants to weigh in on a debate we had to open up the show. What is garbage time? What is garbage time, Tank?
Well, I was at his rookie year when Luck came to the stadium, to Gillette, and 5 minutes left in the game, it was 21-3, and I said, garbage time. Guys, let's get out of here. And I had to listen in the car on the radio to some really good football because I judged it garbage time.
You're saying Luck did this to you? When did Luck do that to you?
His rookie year.
His rookie year?
His first trip to Gillette, his rookie year. There was 5 minutes left of the game. The score was 21-3.
And what was the final?
I don't remember the final.
Because you know why, Tank? They probably scored some garbage time points. That didn't amount to anything.
Exactly, right.
That's the point of garbage time.
I just don't think anybody would say a two-score game with 7 minutes to go is garbage time.
I would say that everyone who was watching that game at that time, before the run, with the Colts just having turned it over, and the Patriots on the 34 with 7 minutes left on first down, I would say everyone, and I mean everyone, said this thing is over. And I'd say if you were at the stadium, you were leaving right about that point.
So the caller said it was Luck's first ever trip to Foxborough? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Colts lost 59-24.
Because you know why? There's a bunch of garbage time points.
59-24.
Coop in New York on the Yankees. Go ahead, Coop.
How you doing? I got four Goombas from Bensonhurst here ready to go into Fenway Park coming from... obviously.
Yeah, your phone blows.
That's awful.
Yes, I'm sure. And who am I to talk? But from experience, Fenway's a little short on chest here. So we got some Yankee fans coming in the stadium today.
Yeah, you understand those derogatory remarks we took at the Yankee fan base in the wild card game. That has kind of gone... a little bit viral.
So you told me this. So how derogatory were we?
Because not at all.
Because I forget what I said.
Please, this stupid world we live in now. People just offend it if you say the word "the." So it took off because people wanted to get their panties in a bunch about it because we were like rude to Yankees fans and it was full of Goombas.
So that's all we were rude to Yankees fans.
Yeah, that's all it really was.
I said, Gasper, if you look up and I was just reminded of this watching the wild card game the other day, and after Judge hit the home run, especially they showed the crowd shots.
Yeah,
and they're all 40-year-old white dudes with chains and chest hair hanging on each other. Like, I don't see any women. I don't see any kids. I don't see, you scan the crowd at Fenway. It's like there's Aunt Millie from Vermont and there's kids and families.
There's
some
nuns in there.
And girlfriends. And like, there's unfortunately no racial diversity at Fenway. It's very white, but it's still at least there's some gender diversity and there's different ages. You look up at the crowd at the Yankees, and it is all, it's like
everyone Joey Buttafuoco. Or everyone looks like Luke Voigt.
They all look like Luke Voigt. Like 50,000 of them, and they're like hanging off each other. It's like, would one of you bring your girlfriend? Do you have them? Do you have women in your lives at all?
Chris, you were a big...
Are they all like, remember, you would remember this, Maz. You know that guy Duquette had? Statman, Mike Gimble.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, are they all like the Statman?
No, more accurate. A better reference for you, Chris. Do you remember Tommy Cheeseballs from Real World? The MTV True Life? Tommy Cheeseballs. Yeah, it's the Jersey Shore. Tommy Cheeseballs. Hey, Yankees. And I shouldn't talk because I wear scaly caps too, but they all look like that. But yes, it went viral because you're not on social media. I get all the blowback. And it turns out we're number two on Awful Announcing's Worst Takes of the Week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I stand by that take.
Oh, yeah, no, we got to get to number one.
I'm not apologizing for that.
Well, nobody wants to apologize for.
Oh, you should see some of the pearl clutching and crying online. Like, you guys are racist. Like, towards Italians? I'm half Italian. Like, calm down,
well,
you
I
big
didn't,
babies.
I don't know if I said an Italian thing. I didn't mean to. I mean, I don't know what they are.
No, the Goomba thing.
Well, the Goomba thing's
an
Italian.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
Mazur.
After the game, we'll see you in Little Italy.
Mazur, were you offended by this talk?
No, God, no. What are you kidding me? I've lived it. Please. I know it's real. And you said you could use a little more chest hair at Fenway. Depends what girls you're sitting next to.
All right, Gasper, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Good to see you guys.
Hour to go. Patriots, the Irving announcement, Red Sox, Yankees. How about that? Your calls on all of it right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.